The recordings are started. You can now go ahead.
Thank you very much. Glenn, why don't we do the roll call?
Okay, I'll do the roll call for you just in. We have on the call Mike O'Connor yourself, who's leading the group, Joe Fonsever, Christian Curtis, Rod Rasmussen, Mike Rodenbach, Paul Dias, and Randall Vaughan. And I do not see any other people on the Adobe Connect. Have I got everybody? And Marika and Glenn.
All righty. I posted a link to the agenda. Oh, or in the chat area.
Mm-hmm.
And today's call is pretty narrowly focused on Marika's fabulous document. Marika, hats off to you for pulling it together. An amazing piece of work. I think very helpful. Does everybody have a copy of that available to them for the call? That's going to be very important. I put the link to it out there as well. Anybody who does not have it, chime in right now and figure out a way to get it to you. Okay, one piece of old business before we dive into that. I'm going to take a moment to sort of confirm that we're not going to try to get out to public comment and constituency review for the Cairo meeting. That just turned out to be way too hard. So we're going to go to the Cairo meeting with the initial report rather than the final report. And this is a chance for anybody to say, last chance to say no, let's keep going. But given the size of the review task that we've got and the quality of the work that's done, I'm quite comfortable with the idea of going to the Cairo meeting with initial report. So this is sort of the last chance to oppose that. I don't hear anything right now.
Could I ask, last week you had said that if things went beyond Cairo that you would want to step down as chair. Are you willing to see this through so we have a final report?
I'm feeling more confident that the after Cairo work will be fairly brief. My main concern is partly just personal time. I was beginning to feel as though this was a death march that was never going to end, and feeling a little more confident that it actually is going to end. So I'd be willing to stay on after Cairo and be that last iteration through. On the other hand, if you want to throw me out, that's fine. But
I'm certainly not proposing that.
Yeah. No, I'd be willing to stay on. I really just don't want it to extend for another 3 months, because I am putting an amazing amount of time in this. I had no idea that that's what I was signing up for. But I am willing to carry on.
Great.
Any other comments on that point or on the schedule? Okay, I think that's what we'll do then. All right, the rest of the call today is devoted to Marika's list of changes to the report. And given that we're a little light in terms of quorum, I think what we'll do is we'll go through these changes, and if we all agree that they're fine, we'll accept them. But we'll treat any disagreement as defer until next week rather than try and hash it out today, because just don't quite have enough people on the call. Eric, well, a bunch of Greg, you know, a bunch of folks who are pretty strong contributors. So if that's all right with folks, what we'll do is go through, because a lot of these I think are fine, or only need to be changed in a minor way, and then you know, we can sort of knock off a bunch of these and narrow the focus for next week's call, which will also give us time to collect a few things. I know that Dave has some writing that he wants. He just can't do it this week. Is that okay with folks? Is there any other approach that people want to...
Right. In a nutshell, Mike, are you saying that we're going to go through this, get rid of the stuff that's non-controversial amongst those on the call, and then we'll have another round next week to talk about controversial stuff and new stuff that Dave or I or anyone else might put forward in the meanwhile?
Yep, exactly right.
Right, thanks.
What if something's approved this time and then somebody comes on next time and is interested in revisiting it? I assume you'd permit that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the presumption would be that what we'll produce today is a list of approved stuff and that everybody will have a chance to speak and revisit something.
Super.
I don't know how fast Marika could go through this after the call today and put in all the stuff that's been agreed and then circulate a new version of the report, but that might be...
I think that would be fantastic. I think a lot of it depends on sort of how much we get done today. And,
just a quick question there. Would you like me then to do that and track changes so people can see clearly what has been added to the first compared to the first version?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay.
That'll work at least for the folks who are using Word.
All right, but I think it comes up as well, and if I put in a PDF, I think you can still see as well what has been changed, because I think it's underlined. So.
Great. Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. That'll make it easier for folks to review, too. Great suggestion. Any other thoughts before we dive in? Now, I'm going to tend to talk a lot on this call, and if that starts to get in the way, feel free to interrupt me and say, wait a minute, you're talking too much. But I think in this particular case, since what we're really looking for is non-controversial items, I'm going to sort of breeze along, and if you want to declare something either controversial or at least clarify it, by all means interrupt me. But for the sake of expediency, I'm going to sort of chug right through this because we do have a bunch of these, and so that was at least when I was sort of imagining how this call was going, that's sort of what I arrived at. So if that stops working for folks, by all means slow me down and figure out another one. So I'm going to just start out with number one. This was the suggestion by Greg. That essentially says that this is not anecdotal, and anecdotal was my word. I wrote that piece, and so I'm going to take that as a friendly amendment. I was using anecdotal mostly because I never actually wrote up formally the conversations that I had about this with Reuters, and so I'm willing to accept this friendly amendment. Is that all right with everybody? Hearing no clocks.
How are we going to vote? We just go ahead and say nothing if we're okay with it, or
maybe the way to do votes is I'll do just aye and nay, and if we get any nays, we'll call it a controversial one. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Hearing none, we'll call that one okay. And I'm going to treat the second one pretty much the same way, a friendly amendment, where the problem with that sentence, I think, is that it focused too much on short TTL. Again, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Hearing none, we'll accept that one. Same deal with number three. All opposed say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Accepted. I think what I'll do is I'll get rid of the ayes. That way you don't have to labor along with that. I'll just call for noes. The next one, number four on page two, George was suggesting that we expand the list of working group members. Fine to me. Anybody opposed to that? We'll approve that one.
Before we move on to that one, one question I wasn't clear about was the extent to which folks actually are representing a working group. That was something I think came up, and I never really heard a definitive resolution of that.
Yeah, and was it that they're representing a working group or representing their constituency?
Or constituency, I should say.
Yeah, I think let's take a note, Marika, and maybe I'll stick Glenn with this one. Let's put that back out to the list. We never did get an answer on that.
To some degree, won't that be resolved by being able to look at the constituency statements and comparing them to the various opinions expressed within the working group?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do you want us to send out a note to the working group in which everyone can indicate whether they're representing the constituency or they're on an individual title? Is that what you would like us to do?
That was sort of the question I never heard resolved. I mean, someone went ahead and brought up the issue of whether or not folks indeed had the authority to go ahead and speak on behalf of their constituency or not. And that was something I never really heard anything definitive resolved about. And since this is sort of the section where that connection seems to be getting made, it seems like that would be an appropriate place to resolve it.
Yeah, let's put this one on the controversial pile and add that note to it. And hit the list with that question. So I'm going to back off on that one.
Would you like Glenn to send out a note to that end, to the group?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Mike, it's Paul. You know, since I was the one who probably stirred up that hornet's nest, I would just repeat, I don't know if it's necessarily for the controversial issue. ICANN's rules for a working group, anybody can volunteer. Therefore, the opinions expressed are the individual representative's opinions. It's only when, like the registry constituency, when they go through a process and put whatever position statement to their constituency's vote, they then explicitly say this was a constituency position. Anything else should be understood as the views of the individual members that are either making the point or have signed their name to the document. It's really very straightforward.
Yeah.
This is unlike a task force where constituencies elect representatives to the task force, in which case, because it's an election, they have the authority to speak for the constituency. That's it. You know, volunteers in a working group, but everybody's opinions are their own, and it's only when it's gone through by the constituency bylaws, their internal process, and they explicitly state, hey, we went through our process, here it is, like the registry constituency did, for example, on their statement. Then you take it as a constituency view. Otherwise, again, always individual. Really very basic. I don't think it needs to be deferred. It's straightforward.
Okay. Does that suit everybody else? That works for me. In which case, we could go back to accepting number four.
Should I maybe then just insert a line to that end, basically explaining the working group and indeed that it's, you know, statements being made are an individual title apart from the constituency statements? Just
yeah.
To clarify that, I guess I can pick that up from the bylaws somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's right. It'd be a good thing to remind folks.
I can certainly live with that.
Cool.
Sure.
Do that. Okay, so four is accepted, and then in addition to that, Marika will add that reference to bylaws. Anybody opposed to that? Cool. Way to go, Paul. Thanks. Number five was, from Glenn. What's the link to, Glenn?
The link has been sent to the list, and it's also on the GNSI site, but it's quite easy to be put in. It's to all the statements of interest.
Of interest, right. Anybody opposed to including statements of interest? accepted. Number six. Adding Dave Piscatello to the list. And I'm fine with that. Marika, we had this question from the general counsel. Did we ever get a resolution on that?
I think it's as the note is written. I mean, staff can participate in a working group when invited as a non-voting member. So we would propose to add a line on saying that indeed Dave participated, but not adding him as a formal member of the working group as such, just to avoid that there's any perception of conflict of interest down the line.
Okay. Okay, anybody opposed to that? All right, number six is accepted. Number seven is I think this is one of Dave's stubs, so I think what we'll do for seven and eight, which goes on and on. Numbers jump on my copy. Oh, there they are. Reading through a bunch of Dave Piscatello stubs. I think we're going to defer 8 through 11 because Dave wanted to rewrite those. Anyway, and so I rather than try and vote them up or down now, we'll wait on those. So the next one I want to consider is 12, which is Joe's. Talking about short TTLs.
Since that one explicitly references the ones that we're skipping for now, do we want to wait and see what changes are made to those before we address this one?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Anything that falls in that category, let's just wait. So we'll skip 12 as well. Joe, are you okay with that?
I'm fine.
But we'll leave that one for next week. So then we're on to 13. Different. Adding the case study. Greg, do you want to?
Oh, yeah, it's just referencing an example. There is a statement below that that said that there was no evidence. And so I just thought it might be a good idea to just reference that link. It's something we'd looked at in some depth.
Yeah, okay. Anybody opposed to adding that? Okay, hearing none, that's accepted. 14. Sure, what's not fast flux means. Edit.
I think that's a reference to the fact that there are some other approaches that people may be using to try and avoid detection, such as going ahead and using Tor, for example, or other, circumvention approaches.
That's a great clarification. Let's insert that clarification and accept it, because I think inserting such as Tor is a great, rather than saying not fast flux, is to clarify that. Anybody opposed to doing that?
Could you just clarify that for me? Tor, is that T-O-R?
T-O-R. It's all capitalized. It's essentially another way that's not fast flux to avoid discovery.
What exactly does this refer to in that sentence?
Sounds like maybe your ham-handed chair got in there and screwed up one of Rika's sentences. Let's rewrite this.
We get the link to the PDF.
Can you see the chat, or do you need an email with it?
The chat would be fine.
It's in the chat window. The long one. It's above Greg Aaron's. Sorry, I'm late.
I'm saying for the original document or for the 42-page list of changes? I'm saying for the original document.
If somebody else can do it faster than me, by all means, post it in chat.
In the meantime, just to clarify this, it refers to the sentence as before that. Some indicate that there is a lack of evidence to actually support this category as benefiting from Fast Flux, the free speech advocacy group. Other techniques are used by these groups to avoid discovery, not Fast Flux, or at least no evidence has been provided to support this.
This being the assertion that there's a lack of evidence, or this being the assertion that there are the groups in this category benefiting from Fast Flux?
Let me copy it into the chat window so people can...
Why don't you copy it into the notes window, Marika? That way we can...
Okay. I'm not allowed to do that.
What?
I think.
Evan, paste it in the chat and I'll paste it in the notes.
Okay.
All right, there's the text. That's both sentences or just one?
Yeah.
There is the notes.
I might suggest a rewrite for that sentence because it is confusing. How about dropping the other at first? Just change it to techniques other than Fast Flux are used by these groups to avoid discovery.
Put the such as Tor in there.
Mm-hmm.
How's that look? People see the changes that I made?
Looks fine to me.
Hey. Given this new wording, can we accept it? Anybody opposed, say no.
If we're rewording, I generally would prefer to defer given our low numbers.
Right on. Okay. Job 15. Position immediately after line 3. Show. Wow, this is... I think maybe this is big to accept this group. I guess I'd be inclined to wait on this one. Anybody feel otherwise on this? Or number 12? Or 15? Version on page 6 of the document. Bottom of the page 6, I have a number 12. Points then to something that starts on page 7 by Dave. Again, this is a big one. I think I'd want to defer. Is that just a numbering glitch, Marika?
No, I think 12 refers to Dave's proposal.
The numbers go 13, 14, 15, 12.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that as well. Yeah, I guess that's a numbering.
Yeah, so we have two number 12s, and I think that we defer the first number 12 as well. Yeah, I think So, for both numbers.
While we call it 15.5.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Rika, do you want to renumber the 12 that's on page 6 of the document?
Yeah, but the whole document will be updated anyway, because my proposal will be to take out the ones or mark those adopted and actually adjust the numbering, I guess. Oh, well, actually, now I'm saying that, I guess that might confuse things. So I'll just give this another, what was the suggestion? Which number do I give this? 15A?
15.5 or 15.1 or whatever you want.
Yeah, or 15A. Anything that just indicates that it's between them.
Yeah.
Is this one really objectionable? I mean, just reality, I think, how it possibly be changing.
The ones that I think we can accept are really the minor, almost editorial and grammatical changes today, Michael. It's a pretty big...
Yeah, well, I guess I don't think we need 6 people on the call to do that, then. Or 7, however many we have.
Well, but this little one that we just did, I think, is important nonetheless. I would hate to make those all on my own. And if you want me to, I can, but, you know, you've already heard me propose some things that got fixed by the people on the call, so I would back a little bit there. On the other hand, I'm a little uncomfortable taking something this big and sticking it in the report without a larger group.
Talking about the same thing, the second number 12, changing the words avoiding false positives to maintaining an acceptable rate of false positives.
I'm reading. Oh, I guess the rationale is quite long.
Yeah, I think that's my mistake. I think I put in a part here that is already covered in another amendment. So you should basically not consider what follows the first line of the rationale that comes up in another amendment. So basically, Mike Rodenbach is right. It just concerns that first sentence on the top.
So really, on page 7, we should just be reading the first 2 sentences?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're right, Michael. I think this one is pretty...
Thank you. I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah. No, you're not going crazy. Good one. I can... let's accept that. Anybody opposed to accepting that?
I am. The idea of an acceptable rate of false positives, I actually find kind of objectionable and think we need a lot more clarification and discussion.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it's just another paragraph indicating that there's another view on it, but just throwing it in, I'm not comfortable with.
Okay. Good enough for me. Let's defer that one, and then, Marika, if you could sort of tease apart the extra part.
I'll take that part out because it reappears in, I think, section, at 18, so it comes back there.
One point that I kind of note, however, is that sometimes the rationale is actually excellent text that would really probably merit working into the document itself, ideally somewhere. Or at least I find it often, quite informative.
Yeah,
do you have thoughts about how to handle that, Mike?
I don't have thoughts about that. One incredibly lazy thought is to hand Marika the job of trying to figure that out. I'm not sure whether that's fair. Marika, do you...
I must say, I don't think it's really fair. I don't feel really comfortable in being the judge there in what is good rationale and what is bad rationale. So if people there would like to make proposals and suggestions, I would prefer to go down that route.
Yeah,
one easy answer is to footnote it or endnote it. Basically.
I think what we would need to do is figure out which ones we want to footnote.
Just consider the rationales as proposed endnotes for now, and if people have problems with the text, then we should deal with those.
I actually like that. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's not a bad scheme. I could go with that. So, what would we do? Would we... pick rationales that we want to include as endnotes, not nominate them, essentially?
I'd suggest we assume they all are proposed as endnotes by the drafters. And then
okay.
If people want to knock them out for some reason, then consider that. But I agree, these are thoughtful notes. There's no reason to lose them.
Right. Would we attribute them to the drafter? So that they would be separate from the opinion of the group?
Of course, it could get really crazy. There's endnotes for every sentence.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Review articles.
Yeah, right. I mean, we could go for a record number of pages.
We might hit that anyway, yeah?
Yeah, we might. What if we nominated all rationales by default as endnotes, and we attributed all of them so that people didn't have to feel like we had to arrive at any kind of consensus about the endnote? I think if we have to do that, then we've really signed up for a lot of work.
That's a good idea.
Doesn't that complicate things a bit? Because if everyone accepts a certain amendment, I would assume that they also agree with the rationale. So if you attribute every rationale, it almost looks like that's only the opinion of that one person who has provided the rationale.
Or
am I wrong here?
I actually would challenge that assertion. I think there's going to be a number of places where we're able to agree on things, but for different reasons. Not maybe the case that there are many cases where we can reach consensus on a footnote, but figuring out which is which might just be a lot of work.
I think that the way to maybe, Rick, I think you make a good point. If we don't accept a change, maybe we don't insert its endnote in the document by virtue of the fact that we haven't accepted it. But if we've accepted it, we'll take the rationale as well, but we'll attribute it so that we don't get tangled up in having to actually edit all the endnotes.
But the originally described process was that dissents would be preserved, albeit disclaimed as not the work of the group.
Right. That being the thought. You know, the thought being that if we could attribute the endnote, that would that issue. Does that work for folks?
That works. It gives everyone a chance to say they don't want their note in there or change their mind also.
Mike, could you just repeat what the agreement is on this?
Yeah. So let me summarize, make sure I get this right. So what we'll do is for any modification that we accept, we will insert the rationale as an endnote, and we'll attribute it to the person who wrote it.
One thing that we should remember is that if we're making the rationales endnotes, we'll want to play with the grammar just so that they make sense.
Yeah, and some of these are written in first person and some are written in third. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, things like that.
That out. Marika, there are some which are very first person and very rambling. Maybe what I will do is grant you the power to go back to the person who wrote the rationale and ask them to rewrite it if it's too much for you to rewrite on your own. That help you out? I don't want to leave you with an impossible writing job.
Well, one way to do it as well, indeed, for those that we accept today, I can already include them as endnotes, and then people can see how it is. I'll just basically copy and paste what they've sent, and then people still have time to, you know, rewrite it as they see fit. As it is attributed to them, to individuals, I would prefer as well that if there's any rewriting, they do it themselves, and you know, as it's in their name.
Yep, very good point. Let's handle it that way.
So, Mike, just to come back, I was just going to say, to go ahead and clarify then, if an amendment is not accepted, what happens to it? It is endnoted, it's not endnoted, it's inserted at the bottom of the page?
No, I think if an amendment is not accepted, then its rationale is also not included.
So does it not get included in any form as well then?
The amendment that was rejected?
Correct.
Those need to be preserved also.
Well, those could be preserved in these documents.
Because the original process that was described was quite a bit different.
Yeah, this is Mike O'Connor, you know, building the plane while it's in flight.
Just to clarify, because as I understand, I mean, we haven't gone down the route of rejecting anything, but as I understood from earlier emails, rejections would only occur if everyone would reject a certain amendment, and otherwise one could consider including it as a minority position.
Right.
That was my understanding.
Yep, sorry. That's my fault. The right way to do it.
I just wanted to indicate I'd be fine having that minority position essentially expressed as an endnote or footnote or wherever the text ends up going. I mean, I don't think it's necessary to have it interrupt the flow of the document. So that was why I was confused by the discussion of not having some of those appear as endnotes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, well, that's a thought. I was assuming that the minority positions would be in the main flow of the document. How do people feel about having them appear entirely as endnotes rather than in the document?
If anything, I think maybe they should be separately stated as a separate annex, and then the endnotes to the text can be different annex.
I think it's okay if you can hyperlink them to put them in a appendix or anything like that as an endnote.
I actually disagree with that. I think that given the amount of disagreement we've had in this group, if we do the minority view something of a disservice to exclude them from the main body of the text, because the main body of the text really ought to reflect the amount of disagreement we've had.
Yeah, I'm drawn to that rationale. I think what I'd like to do is leave them in the main body of the text, essentially the way that I was originally thinking they would go. Partly because I think that way do, as the reader, get the sense of the degree to which there are different opinions, but also it keeps them all together so that you can essentially review the whole argument at the same time as you read it.
That sounds good.
Then I assume then that the minority views would be attributed also. In other words, it'll be clear if it's one person's view or if it's 45% of the group.
Interesting question. Yes, I hadn't thought that through. How do people want to handle that?
One way I've seen it handled in other working groups is you basically develop gradations of consensus, like five levels.
So do you, in those documents, were they by name or were they by number? In other words...
I'm sorry. Well, they were not attributed. Instead, there was an assessment made that was agreed by the group as to what the what level of consensus there was. I'm thinking specifically of the Who Is group that Philip Shepard, last one I think was.
I mean, one way we could do it is just essentially record a number of people supporting. I think it would get a little tedious to be reading everybody's name over and over. The only reason I'm
You're right. No, the other good way to do it. We should look back at the way Ram Mohan did his working on reserved names. I think it was. I'll find it.
IDNs.
Yes, IDNs. That's the way it was, Glenn. Do you call?
Yes, I don't remember.
Yeah. I can't remember the detail. Yeah, Ram did handle it well, but I forget exactly how.
Great job. I'll find it and forward it.
Let's Let's assign an action item to get that identified and described and out to the list, EDQ, so that we can take a look at it and give it a nod. Because if there's a good example and a process that worked really well, I'd really like to feel it.
Wouldn't the Adobe Connect go ahead and let you actually have sort of a ballot and folks can just go ahead and record their positions on each of the items and then that could be transcribed if need be?
Yeah, it's partly the way the report would read that notion of sort of degrees of consensus or whatever it is. I'd really like to see what that report looked like. Because I don't want this to be distracting, but at the same time, don't want it to be unclear. So if there's a good compromise between those.
I'd actually be a little nervous putting something to a vote now because we seem to be bleeding members.
Yeah. We are bleeding members. Problems. We've exhausted a lot of people. And I think that part of the reason that this call is so lightly attended is because I didn't promote it well. Hoping that if I can shout a little bit at the mailing list, we'll get a pretty big turnout for next week's call.
There weren't people who had problems with this time, were there?
I don't think we had a lot. We lost Randy Vaughn. Got a call, or a class at this.
Yeah, I kind of gave my lab student something to do today, so this is probably very seldom I'll be able to come at this time.
Yeah. I think Randy was the one. I didn't get a lot of regrets. Glenn, do you remember from the...
Joe was also one, but Joe's on the call.
I made it.
Can you see, and we got a regret from George Kirikos and Dave Piscitello.
For this time?
Yes. No, not for this time, for this call. But as far as I can remember, I think everybody is on the call. Nobody is not on the call because they said they couldn't be on it at this time.
When you did the doodle...
Yeah.
Were there any folks who said, I remember Randy saying on the doodle poll that he couldn't make this time and that Joe couldn't.
Yeah, and that's right, and they're on the call.
Yeah, and are those the only two?
Let me go back and look.
Best that you can find. While Glenn's hunting that down, let me try and summarize where I think we're at. We're gonna attribute endnotes. We're gonna do attributed rationales as endnotes. We're gonna research the degrees of consensus model that Ram did, IDN, and perhaps adopt it. At least get it out on the mailing list. We're going to keep the minority views in the report in line. We're not going to put them in panic. Is that a safe summary of where we're at?
Yep. On going back to the question of footnoting the rationales, I just want to make sure that we leave a step for reviewing and pulling out ones that seem unnecessary. If we make just small grammatical changes that don't actually represent, substantive judgments as to what's being said, then I don't think that we really need to footnote this rationale.
Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe we'll leave that to Marika to sort out. And then if anybody's rationale gets deleted and they feel strongly that it should go in, they can get it back in.
Okay. I just posted an ugly link to the working group report that I was talking about. Cut and paste text.
I had a hard time hearing that.
Michael Rodenbaugh just posted a link to Rom's report to the chat area. I'm going to steal it. Put it in the notes area. Suggested.
This was a really large working group. A lot of folks also in this process. It was really well done. It worked well.
Put that in there. There was agreement for alternative views. So there were three grades, huh? Support, agreement was essentially consensus. Support was competing positions may exist. And case, so was it, Michael, that in the case of support, that's where alternative views also appear, or where there are alternative views?
We can look at the report the way it was laid out. I think also was good. It basically did them separately. Here are the areas of agreement. Here are the areas of support. Here are the alternative views.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take that as something to ponder on the list over the next week as a possible approach to the format of our report.
I'll put it in an email to the list, right?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yes.
It's Glenn.
Go ahead.
The four people who had problems for Wednesday were George Kirikos, Dave Piscatello, Randy Vaughan, and Joe. And we've got Randy and Joe on the call. Dave is traveling, and George sent his apologies.
One option that we... back to Friday for next week's call, but of course the Friday next week is my statewide commission meetings. That's... But let me promote the next call on the list, see how we do getting people on the call next Wednesday. In terms of developing a big enough group to vote. Now, another approach to this would be to do some sort of offline, rather than doing it by phone, to do it via the list, asynchronously. And other ways groups have done this kind of thing, have they ever done that, or has it always...
done both ways, working groups I've been on.
How do they do it if they do it asynchronously?
Well, basically you do a draft of the text and take expressions of support for each chunk.
Could we use Marika's document essentially as a ballot and have people reply to Marika with...
I think that would be good after we finish this step we're in now.
Yeah.
But then it might be helpful to circulate the word version so people actually can go in and take out the Y or the N, because I guess it's not possible in the PDF.
Yes, I agree.
You don't mean Marika's PDF document today. You mean Marika's...
No, I was thinking actually of the PDF.
agree with the text or not. And there might be still friendly amendments possible after that, but
not sure. So would you put the essentially the yes no?
I'd finish what we're doing right now.
Okay. On the phone.
Then we have a text, an initial report, go out to the group to decide whether they agree or support or have an alternative view as to any of the sections of the report.
Okay. That means that we have to get this done on the phone, right? This first phase.
Well, I think it'll be helpful just to narrow down the issues. I mean, like we were starting to do today, just taking out the...
Yeah, picking out the ones that are fairly straightforward.
And the other ways, I mean, I think that that if it's pretty clear from our calls that there's going to be two positions that are supported, basically, then we need to take text on those positions.
Yeah. And hopefully what we'll wind up with, we can get through, how are we doing on time? Another half hour. If we could get through the non-controversial stuff today, maybe by the end of the call next week we'll know the gradation of support and the degree to which there is going to be multiple opinions on each of these issues.
I'll give people another week to review email threads and
agreements. Give Marika a chance to get another draft out.
I'm just wondering, though, about the new draft, as there are several amendments that are linked and related, whether it wouldn't make more sense for me to actually update the proposals list indicating the ones that have received agreement here. So we first focus on the list before starting to introduce things in the text, and we only start introducing once we have everything agreed or at least clear whether things need to go in, so then people can review the report as a whole and not have pieces in and certain pieces missing that still need to be discussed.
That works for me. So we'll focus on this, on the PDF document, until we finish it, and then update the draft once. That's what you're proposing.
Yes, that would be my proposal.
I think that's a good idea. Okay, let's... anybody opposed to that idea? All right. Well, let's carry on. Can. Actually doing pretty well. Non-controversial one. I'm up to number 16, which is on page 8.
I suspect that's not in the non-controversial pile.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah, let's defer that one. 17, page 10. Wow. Oh, I know what that is. I bet this is essentially a stub. Marika, did you do this for each of the...
Yes, but just to point out that there are basically alternative proposals for that same section, so I'm not sure whether that one goes in the uncontroversial or controversial pile, but the 17 and 18 and I think 19 as well... the 18B question are all linked to the same section, 5.2.
Right. So what I did is essentially put a stub into each section where people proposed, it's essentially in the first draft of the report. One answer to the question is there was no answer. That's what this proposal is. And so this is controversial for sure. There's nothing, certainly can't accept this today because this is one option for Section 5.2. Say, no, we couldn't answer it. Another option is 18, which is Dave's response to that section. Another option is Joe's, which starts on page 14.
18. To clarify, that's an addition to Dave's proposal. So that's why it's A and B. Basically, Joe's proposal is to add certain elements to Dave's proposal.
So none of these can be agreed to today, and the only thought I've got is, Joe, if you could rewrite this, one of yours, some of this is in first person, and some is in third person. Some is in a form that can go directly into the report, but some of this isn't. If I'm looking now on page 18, bottom of the page, it says number 4, internet access operators. I'd probably call them internet access providers or service providers.
I think that was sort of meant in the sense of suggesting a change to that line. I don't know how to really to connote that.
The best way in this case.
See what I'm saying?
Is essentially to propose an alternate text.
That was what I was attempting to do there, I think. So, I mean, I just never hear the term internet access operator, but I do hear people routinely talk about internet service providers.
Yeah, and so what I would do is just propose an alternate text there that says suggested alternate text is number 4, internet service providers.
And you want that as a separate proposal?
If it doesn't overly complicate things.
I think it will.
It might. Essentially what we're looking for is chunks of things that we can insert into the report pretty much as is, rather than instructions to a drafter. So what would be nice is to sort of go through that whole 4 or 5 pages that you wrote and sort of produce however many suggested texts are required to insert your ideas.
Can they go ahead and go as one chunk to the list rather than having to be like 40 separate emails?
I leave that to Marika. It's sort of a question of if you're proposing a whole text that's essentially a whole section of the report, then I would say it's one chunk. If it's a series of edits to the report, I would still suggest suggested texts, but, you know, you want to group them into one email, that's fine. But Marika's going to have to make essentially a choosable item out of each one, and she should make that clear.
The reason I ask is originally I think the thought process had been that each proposed text would experience discussion on the list, and I haven't seen that really occur on a thread-by-thread basis in the way that I think was originally anticipated.
Yeah.
And I think what I have seen is a number of people sort of batch their comments, and that would, you know, or suggested changes, and that would probably be easier from my point of view.
I think that's okay if it's okay with Marika. I really wanted to defer to Marika.
What do you say, Marika?
I have to say, I'm not really clear on what the proposal is. Basically, you're asking for this specific section whether this whole part can be put in here like this, or whether for every point mentioned you need to make a separate proposal. Is that the question?
I guess the question really was is if I go ahead and look at the changes that begin on page 14, do I need to go ahead and break those out into individual email messages, or can I go ahead and break them out into a series of items but batch those items within a single larger message?
Yeah, no, you can put them together in a single message as long as you clearly indicate where in the document you would like to see that inserted. So I can at least make a clear reference, but it doesn't, you know, from my point of view, it doesn't need to be in separate email messages.
Super, thank you.
All right. I'm on to page 23. I think that this one sort of falls in the same category, Joe.
I understand.
We'll defer this one and wait for your rewrite. And now I'm on to page 29, where item 20 is just another stub. We're now on to a new section of the report, section 5.3. And again, this is just my stub reply. It's one alternate view. Number 21, which starts on, really starts on page 30, is suggested alternate text. I think we probably need to defer both of those till next week's call. Then what you see on in 22, 23, 24 is that same stub. You know, again, I asked Marika just to stick it in so that there's at least one version of a text for each of those report sections. And if you get to number 25 is an alternate text for section 5.6, so it's the same sort of thing. I think that all of these sort of have to get deferred. So I'm on to 26 on page 31. And accept that as a friendly amendment. This is Greg's suggestion that we change affiliated to contracted and affiliates to contracted parties. Is anybody opposed to that? Okay, hearing none, 26 is accepted. Seven. Probably needs to be deferred. Does anybody disagree? Like it's got content? Does 28? Go.
I'm going to have to drop off at this point. This is Greg. Good talking with you. Okay, take care. Okay, take care.
Dang, he dropped off right when I could have asked him. I'm working on 29. Anybody want to help educate me on the difference?
Between 28 and 29, or who is versus DNS, or?
The current draft is over on the left. I'm on page 33 at the top of the page. And Greg is suggesting a different text there.
Could someone tell me what page footnote 5 is on?
In the original report?
Correct.
Yeah, does anybody have the original report open? I don't.
Oh, I do.
It's on page 18.
Thank you.
Oh, I think what Greg is trying to do is clarify that.
Greg's simply just trying to get the technical correct answer there. The correct
29 really get at the same thing, which is that, you know, the footnote was wrong.
So I'm willing to put this one up for tentative approval today. Is there anybody opposed accepting Greg's change on that?
Mike, could you just clarify if we're talking about 28 or 29?
I'm talking about 29 on page 33.
Okay, the 28 also concerns footnote 5.
Oh, correct. Sorry.
If I can, Mike, it's Paul. I think what Greg's doing in 29, you know, it's just factually, it's straightforward. He's just saying it's not manual. What's wrong in 28 is the idea that, wrong is incorrect. What needs to be addressed or tightened up in 28 is the idea of having these automated queries. Very, very high volume querying already takes place on port 43. But it's port 43 that many registrars limit the number of hits you can have to prevent data mining.
Right.
So, you know, the idea that you could use the DNS for high volume things and DNS to access WHOIS data is all possible. The challenge is going to be getting access to it at the high enough volumes to do the kind of work we're interested in here and not get tripped up by the rate limits that most every registrar puts in place to prevent data mining.
Excellent summary.
So, where does that leave us on accepting or deferring those two points? Sounds like 29 is fairly straightforward and could be accepted. Maybe 28 needs or work? That's actually a summary of what I just heard.
I'd be happy with draw 28 if 29 goes. I mean, they both address the same issue, and it's just a freaking footnote, so...
How about that? Anybody opposed to that approach? Done. So we'll delete... We'll actually reject, or friendly amendment, the author will remove 28... and we'll accept 29. Okay. Thirty is clarifying that the group didn't reach consensus. Doors. I think that's content. We'll defer that. Same with 31. That's how we want everybody to. Just the stub.
Is that possible to put all the stubs kind of into a single package so that there's sort of essentially an up or down vote? I can't really see people voting on some of those and not others in a consistent way. Or do you envision that occurring?
Well, what was going on there was that I just wanted something for people. And where you're seeing them in a row like that is just that there's no alternative. And so I'm open to any and all suggestions. I just asked Marika to put them in because there was nothing in those sections of the report. When I did the drafting of that part, I just took all the sections and listed them as bullets under a statement like that. So it's really just a mechanical thing, and I'm open to any and all ideas.
And just to clarify, there are some sections where there is an alternative proposed for the stub, so I'm not sure whether it's possible to vote on them all together. Or maybe only for those where there is no alternative provided.
I defer then.
Yeah, it's a good point, though. We'll take a look at that, and maybe Marika hit it right at the very end. Where there's no alternative provided, Maybe we can load all those up at once.
It may be best to actually create a section kind of going into depth with the difficulties that we have with these questions and both the flaws in definition of fast flux, but also maybe some of the flawed assumptions behind the question.
That's a hard one to write. Anybody want to take a crack at that?
I could take a stab at it this weekend.
I think that would be very helpful. Maybe what we could do is pull those ones where there's no alternative text underneath all of that. Essentially expanding this stub, what you're going to write, and then delineate the questions that we had a lot of trouble with. Let's do that. Who was it that volunteered?
That was Christian.
Yeah, if you'd take a stab at that over the weekend, that would be sort of how we wind up on it. And then submit it to Marika, just like all the other ones, with the instruction that called to answer questions piece. Or just pull them into it. Okay, so I'm screaming along here. And now I'm on to 34, which is just another same thing. But then on to 35, easy to accept, that's a numbering change. Internal edit. Anybody opposed to renumbering to make it work right? 35 on page 34. Accept that one. On to 36. I think that's a content one. We'll defer. 37 on page 35 is I view as a friendly amendment. Part at that one and perhaps accept it. Well, want to discuss that at all, or shall we just go ahead and actually clarifying?
I think it's pretty non-controversial.
Yeah, I do too. Anybody opposed to accepting number 37? Okay, we'll accept that one. Struggling trying to figure out what's number 38 about. Joe, do you want to?
Yeah, essentially 38, you know, kind of raised the question of whether or not there should be a section summarizing the constituency statements or whether those should be allowed to stand on their own. And if they stand on their own as an annex, I'm fine with that, would have no proposal in any respect. However, if it goes ahead and becomes incorporated as a summary, as part of the body of the report, then at that point I think those texts become subject to discussion, simply because at that point the summary is, you know, work group product rather than a statement of the group, a statement of the constituency.
Ah, okay, I get that. Let's have a conversation about that. I'm on sort of the fence on that one. One approach would be to just delete that whole section of the report and as Joe was saying, just let the constituency statements stand on their own without summarization. How do people feel about that?
This is Paul. I for one, like the summary, but do appreciate Joe's point and would suggest splitting the difference instead of identifying the source. Say something like, some members point out, blah, blah, blah. If we're going to adopt the approach Ram Mohan used in the past, that sort of identifying, you know, if there was almost rough consensus, if there was positive and then alternate views, use that as a guide to how we identify. So if we can say some members, fine, that falls in the kind of the middle category. It's not rough consensus. It's more than a minority of one.
I can live with that.
My thinking is just that if we cut out this summary, this report's going to be long to begin with. And you know, anywhere where we're kind of synthesizing the thoughts, I think is going to be much appreciated by counsel and anybody else who reads it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would rather not lose stuff like this that you know, helps get you to, okay, here's some group's thinking. We just, I think Joe makes a good point, you know, rather than identifying who they are and creating problems about what if you disagree with what they say. Say something like some members, and you know, it can be understood.
I'd be fine
that,
with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take that as a friendly amendment. Joe, what if we withdrew these and asked Marika to go through that summary with the approach that Paul just laid out, essentially try a rewrite of the whole section?
Pause, there's an opportunity for comment on the rewrite. I'd be fine with that.
Marika, how are you feeling about that as an approach? Would you take on rewriting the summary where we essentially lose the attribution to the specific?
Okay. And then taking basically the different amendments that Joe made as to some others, does that reflect, I don't know if everyone had a chance to look at the other proposals, does that reflect what should be integrated in there?
I would think that the first thing to do would be to go through essentially the process of summarizing the constituency statement and pull the major points that were made out of them all, much the way you did, but not attribute them. And then see if any of Joe's points are missed, and if they are, if there's a way to work those points in.
Okay.
Of course, this kind of comes back also to the issue that was raised earlier in the call about whether or not these are indeed constituency statements or just statements of individuals who may happen to have an affiliation with a constituency.
Well,
remember,
I think
that
in the case of the two, where's the registrar's one at, Paul? Do you know? Did that one go through the...
No, and as we said in our thing, this is, we very explicitly said, this is not a constituency view. It's the views of the members signed below, and then we listed those who contributed or signed off.
So the only one that actually went through the formal constituency process was really the registries.
I can't speak to the NCUC, though, because that was presented as a constituency position.
That was a constituency position.
There you go.
So it went through the formal stuff, Christian?
Our process is actually more informal, but it did get vetted.
Okay. Well, now we've got two things in front of us. One is, what do we do about the registrar's one?
Yeah, all you have to do is say, add the word some before RC, members, and then add of the working group. So it reads the registry constituency, NCUC, and some members, some RC members of the working group, all point to, and then it's accurate.
Got it. Marika, do you track that? Are you comfortable that you know what to do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we will, where does that get us in terms of Joe, is the last one there 41 in that group? No, wait a minute. So 40 would... So 38 through 40 are the ones that Marika should take a look at.
That was my thought, sure.
Yeah, okay. And incorporate into the draft along with the changes that Paul is suggesting. All right. So we're on to 41. We have 2 minutes to go. Well, you know, we did a darn fine job, but I don't think we're going to make it today. So we'll leave the rest for next time. Any sort of parting thoughts that people have that we should fold into the process of getting ready for next week's call?
I think some sort of mechanism to allow like an up or down vote would be nice if that could be incorporated into a collaboration tool. Now, I don't know what its capabilities are.
Well, it's got the capability of two kinds of votes. So we can either do attributed voting. If look over on the left side, the list of names. If you look at the bottom, turn mine up, people can give things a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So I can agree, or I can disagree. That's the way it shows up. So that's one way, you know, that'd be essentially a roll call voting mechanism. The other is this polling gizmo over in the upper right corner. And the tricky bit will be if people are not on Sobe Connect, if they're just calling in. I think what we'll have to do is have a mechanism for Glenn to take a roll call of people who aren't Adobe Connect so that they aren't shut out of participation. So we'll explore that a little bit. That
and I think afterwards you give folks that are just a call an opportunity to reply by email.
After
absentee ballot, as it were.
After next week's call, Mike?
Well, you know, basically, yes. After next
yeah.
week's call.
Yeah, not this week's call, though, right?
No, because we still don't have all the proposed changes.
Right. No, I just wanted to clarify that you didn't mean after today's call.
I can propose that maybe so when I send out the revised proposal list that I indicate as well that on those proposals when we reached agreement there are still possibilities to come back on those or re-raise them.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So the people who aren't on today's call can bring them back to the table.
One mechanical issue is you're probably looking at about 1 to 2 minutes per vote. Go ahead and have votes on like everything.
Yeah, and I doubt that we'll get through them all next week. I've sort of revised the schedule to try and get through this in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think there's any way that we can get through them all. Too much to discuss. Okay, folks. Thanks a million. It's 10:30 my time. I'll let you all go.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike. Bye now.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.